Blog Talk Radio.
Monday, you're listening to The Garden of Enlightenment with Louis Wildove, Grey Eyes Smith, Weaver of Dreams, and Poetic Picasso. And tonight's show is brought to you by a group on All Poetry called Late Night Poets. And we have anthologies available on Amazon.com under the same moniker. So feel free to check those out and help support these shows. That said, tonight's show is based on front page picks from January and open poetry as well. So I'm going to check the studio here real quick. And we have our co-host, Weaver of Dreams. Hello, Weaver.
AKA Hello, Katie. My dear. Hello.
It's wonderful to hear your voice.
Thank you.
How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing wonderfully, thank you. I've actually had a little bit of a sleep. So that was quite good. That's about 2 hours in 48 hours. I'm doing well, and I'm awake, so we can't ask for more.
Yeah, no kidding. Well, welcome to the show. I'm going to bring on another caller here. Hello, area code 585. Is that you, Mr. Lord Elon?
Hey, good evening, Gray. Good evening, Katie.
Good evening, my dear. Lovely to hear you.
Well, thank you. Lovely to hear you as well.
I'm so surprised you can, actually.
Yeah. Absolutely. Well, Katie, what's up?
Well, what we have, just give me one moment because I did have it here. Oh, yes. We have The One by Daniel Deschino. I'm sorry to get you working already, Laurent, but could you read this, please?
I can.
Kiddo.
Hang on now. Find my way to where I need to be. And there it is. All right. This is called The One by Daniel Deschino. Frozen on a burning world, I stand frightened of what I cannot see that lies ahead. Directionless to move backwards, as the trail of tears I left has evaporated into oblivion, and all other directions infected with unwelcoming souls. I've looked too hard and become buried in findings. My eyes open too wide and the sun burns bright. I open all that I am to the world around, and I have become the one. The one who feels the surroundings, the soft healing rose petals, and the hidden thorns that drain life. Who hears secret cries in the distance that blanket and warm the laughter that forgets. The one who sees past humanity, beyond biology, and into energy. I am the one, part of billions, singular to me. End poem.
Fantastic read, Lord. And that was a beautiful poem. You know, it really speaks to the oneness of life and, you know, being able to see through all that is and all that was to find your place in the world. And I really enjoyed the one who sees past humanity beyond biology and into energy. That's a beautiful poem. What did you think, Katie?
Yes, that is a beautiful poem. I thought that was absolutely wonderful. There's so much emotion in this. It's really good. I've looked too hard and become buried in findings. My eyes open too wide and the sun burns bright. Yes, this is somebody who has a realization and decides that he will become one with the world more than he was before, I think. Who sees past humanity beyond biology and into energy. So he is immersing himself in that little round thing that we should be looking after more and taking care of rather than killing. So, yes, I thought it was beautifully done. Thank you for sharing, Daniel. I probably got your point completely wrong, but you know me. I know nothing. I see what I feel. I feel what I see. So sorry if I got it all wrong. Thank you.
Great comment, Weaver. Thank you. And Laura, you read it. What did you think?
I know nothing. All right, Sergeant Schultz. Let's see. this reminded me an awful lot of a character in a movie, namely the Matrix, where everyone was constantly asking, are you the one, the special one, the one who brings us salvation, the one who can see past evil? And that's basically what has happened here. I've looked too hard and become buried in findings. My eyes open too wide, and the sun burns bright. I opened all that I am to the world around, and I have become the one. And goes on to cleverly describe what the one feels. I personally like the poem a great deal. Had a lot to say.
Absolutely. Excellent comment, Lauren. Thank you. All right, Katie, where are we to next?
It's unmuting. One side is muted. Here we are. I will try not to put this out twice as well. This is Envy by Leah, and she has a SoundCloud, I think.
Okay, I will play it.
Thank you.
Envy, poor Iago, you were not God's favorite, but you turned, fevered and fearlessly, on the favorite. Amen. Comisaria suited Iago Green in a rearguard mask of many faces made of four masks hemmed with decimal seductions of incestuous triangles, hexa of Navajo serpent ale, and from bulbs hourglass multiple refractions of fleur de mal up from the sand around your ostrichian head. Ah, warum sie du down dort in more space, a mere flash of blood heat, a pulse of works from eyes in her eye, shaped by the moon's loiny sway among the shishi betweens of lead and menaces. Among that space, Taiki rolled your dice, wherein clay fallows envy took root in you, grew plate of fire and water that became your backlit tongue. Dry light twinkle, twinkle from further, farther backlit Caesarean, the smaller shadows came, blood bloomed outward, birth a drafty pyre, where burned your flyers and your books, bloodless, her carcass fumed, with many smells, all to a Janaya room, down Dorthin module grade, formed between more and wide, the grey egg of circumstance, where they and you felt the sordid aftermath. Ah, mastery, smell them out.
Wow, that was a wonderful read. And, you know, the poem is definitely unique in its expression. She really captures the essence of that which she speaks. It's definitely a powerful poem. I really enjoyed it. It had a great flow to it, and you know, it's definitely powerful, and it's beautifully penned as well. Unfortunately, I don't understand some of the language that was used, but you can get the feel of it. Ah, warm see du de und dort in Moore's space, a mere flesh at blood heat. A pulse works from inner eye, shaped by the moon's loiny sway among the she betweens of Leta and Memesis. Yeah, powerful poem. What did you think, Katie?
Oh, yeah. Well, definitely powerful. I love her accent. It adds so much to the poetry. I feel it's just beautiful. And when you know, when you're in the rhythm of it, it's perfectly easy to understand, and that's wonderful. I thought this was, wow, this is deep and very interesting. Did I see the word mort? No, it's Moors. I thought we were talking about somebody dying, but obviously not. No. I think this is, yeah, I thought it was lovely. So God has turned fevered and furiously on the favorite. Oh dear, poor Iago. It has touches of coming through the centuries, nothing ever changes. You know, there is envy and greed always. Flesh is just flesh, and blood is just blood. And I thought it was beautifully done. So thank you so much for sharing it with us.
Great comment. Thank you. And Lauren, what did you think?
Well, you mentioned the fact that you didn't understand all of it. And, you know, an abstract piece like this, I guess you have to take what you can from it. I thought it was great writing without necessarily, like yourself, understanding all that much of it. But I simply looked at words, for instance, a mere flesh at blood heat, a pulse works from the eye's inner eye, shaped by the moon's loiny sway among the she betweens of Leda and Memesis. Well, I get the mythological reference, certainly. But beyond that, I think such remarkable writing deserves accolades outside of AP, not just within. And I hope she gets them. I mean, her skill at weaving a tale such as this, just remarkable.
Absolutely, I agree wholeheartedly. Thank you, Laurent. Okay, Katie, what's up next?
Next we have The Sound of a Faraway Train by After the Fire. So, Grey Eyes, would you read this for us, please?
Sure.
Thank
she
you.
She sits at the table and dreams of a way she can circumvent all of her pain. Her wishes disperse, and she smiles as she hears the sweet sound of a faraway train. She wonders if it carries people or coal. Perhaps she can hop it someday, riding the rails with wind in her sails, her past slowly fading away. Alas, she is trapped by a marriage from hell, her life as her servant, her bane. So she packs up her wishes and places her bets on the sound of a faraway train. End poem. And I really liked it, you know. I enjoyed the faraway train aspect of it, you know. It definitely speaks to what lies out beyond where you are and where it's going. And, you know, you kind of just want to run and jump it, escape your pain. And, you know, I've met people on the train in this situation where they were fleeing from a bad marriage, and this woman was married to a state trooper in Michigan, and he was abusive, so she fled to Canada, and I happened to meet her on the train, and she shared that with me, that that's what she was going through. And so, yeah, that reminded me of that. And so it took me to a place where I had been on a train and met somebody who jumped the train and fled her country to Canada. So wonderful write and deeply engaging throughout. So what did you think, Kate?
It was very engaging. I really enjoyed this. It's sad. Of course it's sad. You know, a bad marriage is something that you never want. You never want for anybody, because you are basically trapped living within the confines of someone else's rules and regulations or whatever is making it so terrible. So, yeah, I'm glad you got out. Thank goodness. Well done. And beautifully written. So thank you for sharing.
Sorry, Lauren. What did you think?
A train is a little bit like traveling on a boat, a large ship. You know, you can't get up and walk around in a car or an airplane, but you definitely can in a boat or a train. You have the opportunity to meet other people, move around, have a meal in the dining car, etc. And the romance of the whole thing, the train and its whistle, which is such an iconic symbol of departure, of loneliness, of a number of things that work so well, given the emotion of the train whistle. And I thought it was brilliant rhyming and rhythm, and this is the iconic sound of a faraway train takes us away, heading for anywhere but where we are, which is what a lot of people want. And it has a lovely end stanza, fine work.
Absolutely. Wonderful comment. Thank you. Okay, Weaver, where are we to?
Next we have, just checking I'm not on mute again. Next we have Dark Laments by Arcana Armor. And I bet my back teeth that there is a sound cloud on that.
I'm missing my back teeth.
Rippling the chorus. of restless night, calling aloud from depths of twilight, where somber sleeping shadows rise, dancing the melody of dripping moonlight that softly soothes the sailing clouds. Naked in fashion, flicker your eyes, that chronicle crossing passage beneath the disdain. Your crucibles of flames faintly smolders, abandoned on grains of melted romance. My mind melts into creeping whispers beyond the cloak of wandering stars, silently seeping from wakened wishes, ebbing from floating shrouds of ghosts. Hidden behind walls of telltale tears, in the frozen embrace of liquid languor, to wash away haunts of piercing memories that shatter the peace with spilling sighs. Naked in fashion, flicker your eyes, that chronicle crossing passage beneath the disdain. Your crucibles of flames faintly smolders, abandoned on grains of melted romance. Cascading torrents of climbing incense, castells that drip on poisoned promises, lost in kisses of melted enchantments that speak from panting lips of lies. A faded caress of midnight's melancholia is swept in repose that softly descends upon a breezing breath of sad solace to take me afar on candlelit murmurs.
Wow, an amazing town cloud. He's such a talented man. You know, he really captures the darkness quite beautifully in his poem. Calling aloud from depths of twilight where somber sleeping shadows rise, dancing the melody of dripping moonlight that softly soothes the sailing clouds. And then my mind melts into creeping whispers beyond the cloak of wandering stars, silently sleeping from wakened wishes, ebbing on floated shrouds of ghosts. Beautiful. Such a talented man. And what did you think, Weaver?
Oh, never ever is anything other than utterly amazing. It, the amount of work and effort, and he must have learned so much by doing this about this particular art form. And I think it's absolutely beautiful. I really do. How does he do it? That's what I'd like to know. I think he's probably an alien. I don't think he can be off this earth because he doesn't even stumble. Amazing. I mean, I know he goes back and edits, so I'm not stupid, but still sounds very smooth. Hidden behind walls of telltale tears is the frozen embrace of liquid languor to wash away haunts of piercing memories that shatter the peace with spilling sighs. I like that a lot. So thank you so much, Arcana. It was wonderful.
Great comment, Kate. Thank you. And Lauren, what are your thoughts?
Cascading torrents of climbing incense cast spells adrift on poisoned promises, lost in kisses of melted enchantments that speak from pouting lips of lies. A lament indeed. This is wonderfully voiced and presented. We feel the loss of the former love, offered in impassioned language that resonates. Excellent piece.
Great comment, Lauren. Thank you. Okay, Katie, what do we have next?
Oh, yeah. Next we have Your Body, My Body, Ours by Hope Soul. And I will read this, and I hope I can do it justice, Hope. Just keep your fingers crossed I don't stumble. Right. Be careful with me in your tidal waves. Heated throes of passion can lead me slipping into something more comfortable as I dress myself in you. Hands drop their thorns as our silks combine. There's a lack of words. One finger covers lips, soon to be shushed into howling. Eyes wide open, ready for this escape. Hiding in your moonlight, paling desires of wants in need of rescuing. Making wishes on each of your ribs, ye my salvation, in our eternal sin. I cannot sleep, drink, eat, except for the concept of you. I'll drink, sleep, and eat to that. Getting your fill, wade in the waters of our sips, eat, be, me. End poem.
Beautiful read. And I loved it. You know, this really speaks to the coming together of two souls and the beauty that is. And, you know, it speaks to the surrender that one gives to be in this situation. And I really enjoyed, I cannot sleep, drink, eat, except for the concept of you. I'll drink, sleep, eat, and eat to that. Getting your fill, wade in the water of hours. Sip, eat, be me. Yeah, powerful poem on this coming together of two souls. Beautifully written and well read. What did you think, Lauren?
Wow, there's some great lines in this. Be careful with me in your tidal waves. Heated throes of passion can lead me slipping into something more comfortable as I dress myself in you. Very clever, slightly humorous, passionate, seductive, impactful, all words that denote the vividness of this particular piece. You can feel the surrender. You can feel the seduction. You can feel the acceptance. Very nicely done.
Great comment, Lauren. Thank you. And Weaver, what did you think?
I thought it was lovely. I thought it was, yes, there was passion. There was no, it was a quiet, deep, loving passion that was there. Nothing hurried, nothing to worry anyone, nothing to, you know, to have to think about it, comfortable with each other. And yes, I loved that line as well. It was wonderful. Something more comfortable as I dress myself in you. That's just, I'll slip into something more comfortable. I love it. I love it. So clever. Also, the first stanza, be careful with me in your tidal ways. Heated throes of passion can lead me slipping into something, and then we go on to the rest of it. Yeah, so it was a beautiful lead into the actual story of the relationship and how sweet and lovely it was. So thank you so much for sharing with us, Hope.
Great comment, Weaver. Thank you. All right, Weaver, where are we to next?
We are going to The One by Daniel DeShino.
I think we opened it up with that.
Did we?
Yes, we did.
Oh, balderdash. Oh, I didn't put them in, so I have no idea why that's halfway down the page. I'm sorry, Daniel. You're not getting another shot. I thought I recognized it. God, I'm getting old. Okay. Oh, my goodness me. This is no fun at all. Okay, one moment. I'll be with you. Don't worry yourself about anything. But everything's in hand. Believe that, you can clap. Oh, glad to die. Here we have. Here we have In Elysium by Bill Shill and Laurent. Could you read that, please? Don't tell me you've read it already. Must be the whiskey. Cheeky boy.
We got it.
Thank
Bill
you.
Schiller offers us an Elysium. Beneath blanket of licorice jelly beans, Angelina Jolie strokes hair. FGCU girls V volleyball team conceive. Join us under there. Taylor Swift slowly whisper, take me in my ear. I have tickets to Pink Floyd. They invite on reunion tour 2. David Gilmour offers autographed guitar and says, Billy, this is for you. The radio never ceases broadcast my favorite tunes. Trump has gone to jail. No animal prevails near extinction. The Nobel Committee awards me for literary distinction. Bob Dylan applauds at ceremony. Holden Caulfield congratulates me for not being another phony. I'm steering McLaren for Mexico trip. Jessica Alba is at my side. She insists, leave kid at home. While exploring Aztec Pyramid, we discover cache of hidden gold. Snow caps have quit receding. The sea never threatens shores. Most diseases ended. Cancer is cured. Self-loathing has ceased. Wrists never cut. I open door. There's delivery from Pizza Hut. Extra cheese. No matter where, my eyes affix God's glory resounds. In a swimming pool filled with jello, volleyball team and I dive down. People speak one to next. Text messaging does not abound. The world so fraught with smiles, people forget how to frown. Beauty clogs my eyes. People magazine deems I'm sexiest grandpa alive. And poem.
Wonderful read. And would you mind reading his author's notes, please?
Having some fun here, imagining some things I might experience in a paradise of my own making. This is just a starting point. And some is a joke, but I'd never joke about Taylor Swift or girls' volleyball team. Also, love idea of Pink Floyd reunion tour. Bill. Don't we all?
Well, I really liked it. You know, he really has a wonderful Elysium. And I had to Google what Elysium meant, but it's a state of after death and a place or a state of ideal happiness or paradise, the home of the blessed after death. So, you know, he really has a wonderful look at his Elysium. I thought it was engaging and dreamlike, you know, it definitely captured this dreamy essence to it of all these wonderful things happening in his world. And I thought it was beautifully penned and excellently read, Laurent. What did you think, Katie?
I thought it was so cool. I liked it a lot. I like a little bit of humor. I like a lot of humor. This is very good. Taylor Swift slowly whispers, take me in my ear. I have tickets to Pink Floyd. They invite on reunion tour too. Wonderful. So clever. Snow caps have quit receding. The sea never threatened shores. Most diseases have ended. Cancer is cured. Self-loathing has ceased. Wrists never cut. I open door. There's delivery from Pizza Hut. Extra cheese. Oh, man. It's so good. But yes, I thought it was ace. So thank you very much for sharing it with us. It was wonderful.
Absolutely. Great comment. Thank you, Weaver. And, Laurent, what are your thoughts?
I like this because it is humorous. It is honest. I'm sure these things kept coming to his mind, and he wrote them down about as quickly as they came to him. So it had a flow that worked. Even though basically everything was disassociated from everything else, the way it was presented gives us at least a complete whole. There is a scene in the movie Gladiator when Russell Crowe delivers an impassioned speech to his troops who are just about to engage the Goths, the Germanic tribes, and he promises his men that they will wake up in Elysium. It's a wonderful speech, and I don't see the word that often, so it reminded me of that.
Well, that's great. Fantastic comment, Lauren. Thank you. All right, Katie, what's up next?
What's up? What's up, Doc? We got, this is Sculpture Smorgasbord, Magnetism, Let Me Kiss You, by our own, our very own Lulu. I wish Naomi was here to read this. She'd do it so well. Oh, I'm so sorry. It's gonna be me. Do my best, will you? I will. Okay. Ah, Basoretia, the overwhelming desire to kiss. Sounds wonderful. Okay. Blushing confetti rose petals, scented sweet silken desires, robes perfumed drapes, caresses our lips, blossoming in watery pinkish golden nectar, scattering droplets in full bloom, swollen and puckering, pulsating, watering, songful passions, tempting me, intoxicating, succulent. Hummingbird flickering, deep moaning ravishment, tongue honeyed dripping, juicy twisting, drawing, beaker, and frenzied, pressed, fusing, liquid, orgasmic. Wanton pleasure in hush-hush dimensions, whispering afternoons. Hypnotizing oxytocin, dopamine hormones reflect, chemical attractions engorged. Pupils loving, wanting invitation, circular starlet hormonal dilations, love's summons in. Agonizing anticipation, trembling, exploring, enrapturing whispers, willing submission, spreading insatiable sugary tastes, awakening smothered pleasures, seeping, puckered, fleshy, blushing rosette kisses, nibbling, drenching, aroused, inflamed, spreading flower petals. Let me kiss you. End poem.
Beautiful read. And, you know, I love the poem. You know, she really just arrives a kiss in a way that I've never seen before. And it's a beautiful kiss for sure. It's just so image-filled, and you can feel the passion and the desire in the rite throughout. She uses her unique style in this poem as well, where it's kind of... It has a wild flow of its own, and it's beautifully written. What did you think, Lord?
Scattering droplets in full bloom, swollen and puckering, pulsating, watering songful passions, tempting me, intoxicating, succulent. You know, if I can steal from this poem, I find it soulful, passionate, intoxicating, and in the reading, I taste its succulence. Ooh la la, very loving and immensely stimulating.
Absolutely, great comment. And Weaver, what did you think?
Oh, Laurent, you should have carried that on. I was enjoying it so much.
Steady.
I'm trying. Oh, my goodness me. Isn't that just amazing? Isn't that just... I want to scoop her up and give her a big kiss. That's what she needs. She's just an absolutely beautiful person, and it comes through in her writing. She's just clever and sweet and everything you'd want to be and everything you'd want to have in a friend. Just totally wonderful. Love her to bits. And I loved this so much. I thought it was... it wasn't easy to read, I have to say that right away. But I hope I didn't do it too badly, because I couldn't quite get the rhythm. You know how sometimes you just don't get into it properly. But gradually, I think I got it. But beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. So I hope it wasn't too badly read for her. Thank you, Luya. Lovely.
Great comment, Weaver. Thank you. And where are we to next?
I love the way you say that. Where are we to next? It's so cool. I must be a Canadian thing, because I did. Oh, thank you, Frank. Thanks, I did it. Okay. 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 Did somebody ask me something, or am I doing something? Oh, yes, I'm doing something. I have another one. Memoir of a Tree it's a rough draft by Xylophonic Blues. So, Gray, would you like to read this for us, please?
Sure. All through the wind blows, the moonlight leaks between her rooftops. The sound spark falling to a butcher's handshake. Saplings sway as leaves drool, amber's clear liquid. Mauled grasses, anesthesia, astute enough to transfuse. Birds call each other, shrubs nesting into existence, mutually in the center of chainsaw amputation. Beginning veneer sweeps, sleeps, a sawtooth fog added to the heaviness of moss. The duck silhouette rides the rope fling tied to lilies of spider fern. Swept into the constellation, angles, whispering wind, farther splitting, almost soundlessly, save for a branch down an autumn path, a special track to transmit irrelevancy to the design. Drowned kingdom rises at daybreak, interconnection trampled by hungry ghosts. Whispering winds wish for power and its material trappings, slope brokenness sounding like a distant 22. Teeming needs throaty sparrow calls in a flotilla of stars. Divisive cracks wavering landscape moved by night soil. Earthworms unstitched the middle ground. Graceless power shifting, existing, every atom of me. A mob of odd profiles becomes the nucleus of bewilderment. Forest roots, thick, mud sown, bodies trailing branches, fallen into a ditch, living only in the realm of eagle blooming, about to erupt. Peacock carousels grazing, the occasional drowned hand, deliberation cracking for the song of 11, strong spots of rain, Ferris wheel spinning as vines unstitch, pendulum, many-page treaties, in the transition, transient tree stand of the web. End poem. And I really liked it. You know, it speaks to the forest and, you know, trees being cut by chainsaws and the world that exists unseen in the forest and, how he feels that. And living only in the realm of eagle blooming about to erupt. And then the final stanza, peacock carousels grazing, the occasional drowned hand, deliberation cracking for the song of 11, strong spots of rain, Ferris wheel spinning as vines unstitch, pendulum, many page treaties to the transient tree stand of the web. Yeah, beautifully written, powerful poem. And congratulations on your front page pick. And what did you think, Weaver?
It was very surreal. I mean, this was something that I thoroughly enjoyed listening to and reading. An awful lot to it that I would have to look into because I don't get it at the beginning, as you gathered by now. It takes me a little while to grasp. But obviously, we're talking about the forests and the mutilation of the forests and all the animals and sawtooth frog. Should that be a sawtooth frog? Added the heaviness of moss. The duck silhouette rides the rope swing tied to lilies, spider fern. I love a spider fern. This is very, very clever. Very, it's easy to read. It was lovely, but full of metaphor. So, yes, I thought it was beautifully done. Very clever. Thank you so much for sharing.
Great comment. Thank you. And, sorry, what did you think?
The concept of tree thought is a fascinating one. And who knows how a tree thinks? And how do you present what you think the memoirs of a tree should be? And really, one of the better ways, I suppose, is through the use of surreal and abstract language. And it's a rush of imagery, all of which are centered around the forest in language that is really delightful to read. I mean, it has a musicality, it has a taste. It just has a jumble of imagery that is really quite special. A mob of odd profiles becomes the nucleus of bewilderment. Forest roots thick, mud-sown. Bodies trailing branches fallen into a ditch, living only in the realm of ego blooming, about to erupt. Nicely done.
Absolutely. Great comment. Thank you. And what do we have next, Weaver?
Yes, I'm off. Yeah, I am. Sorry. We have Immortalized by Darkened Auras. I don't know. Is that? No, I'll read it anyway. So I'm just going in there, folks. See you on the flip side. Immortalized. She poured her heart out in her music, emotions that others could feel. It sent shivers and created tears because it came from something real. She choked up in her own lyrics as she sang of her mother's death. She recalled the good times too, even through her bated breath. The sadness in the melodies, the cracks within her voice, shows she's human with a hurting heart who has made the choice to immortalize the tragedy woven in with her passion. Every time that she breaks down, her fans show true compassion. End poem.
Beautiful read. And I'm not too sure who this is about, but it's a beautiful write. You know, he really captures the prompt quite beautifully. And she poured her heart out in her music, emotions that others could feel. It sent shivers and created tears because it came from something real. I mean, when an artist shines their work into the world, you know, sometimes you can't help but shed a tear at the beauty of it all and be immersed in that beauty of their art and their realness of their reflection of their inner soul. So to immortalize a tragedy woven in with her passion, every time that she breaks down, her fans show true compassion. Just a beautiful write, wonderfully read, and beautifully read, Weaver. What did you think, Lauren?
When an artist chooses to immortalize someone that they love, in this instance, her mother's death, you're definitely going to pour your heart out into the music. And everyone is going to feel those emotions, and real emotions from a performer can send shivers, bring tears, send goosebumps, all of the above, because the artist is communicating on a personal level that relates, and I think that's what this poem celebrates nicely.
Absolutely. Beautiful comment, Lauren. Thank you. And Weaver, what did you think?
Yes, anything like this just tugs at the heartstrings, doesn't it? It really is. It's the oddest thing. It's something we know is inevitable. It's something that comes to us all, but it's still something that we try to run away from or pretend it doesn't happen. And everybody always ends up so hurt and sad because of losing someone they care for so much. And I don't know whether it's because we don't know what happens next. You know, maybe if we knew what the next part of that journey might or might not be, it might make it easier for us to accept. I don't know. But I think perhaps that is a big fear, that we don't know whether something we believed all our lives is actually true or not. I'm always reminded of Conan Doyle, perhaps. Who was the chappie who believed in fairies? Anyway, it doesn't matter. I won't go into it because I can't actually remember it correctly. It's just boring. So, yes, I thought it was wonderful. I thought the whole, everything about it, the cracks within her voice show she's human with a hurting heart. Sometimes it's very difficult to keep on talking when your emotions are so close to the surface. And you do, your voice does crack. So I thought she penned it wonderfully. You got every emotion so beautifully put down and such a warm and... Oh, yeah, a warm piece of poetry, which touched me very much. So thank you.
Great comment, Weaver. Thank you. And I'd like to welcome caller 707 to the show. Hello. Who's calling, please?
Hi. It's Naomi.
Hi,
Naomi.
Naomi.
Hello,
we also have a
guys.
Caller 707. Who is that, please?
What?
Hello, caller. Area code 707.
Didn't Naomi just announce himself?
Oh, there you are. Who is that?
Didn't Naomi just announce herself?
Yeah, but we have another caller.
Hey, Passion's Promise. I mean, what? Oh, good evening.
Is that Passion's Promise?
No, I was joking.
Oh. I don't know what's happening with area code 707. Perhaps you're on mute. Well, chime in any time.
Sounds like California.
I'm not too sure. Welcome to the show, Naomi. Thank you for calling
me. Oh, my pleasure. Thank you for having me. Sorry I'm late.
No problem.
Absolutely. And what did you think? I mean, sorry, what do we have next, Weaver?
All right, so we're coming close to the hour's ending. So we're going to have I Tour Heaven, Knowing About the End by our very own Harker Paco. So, I don't know. Naomi, would you like to read this? I'd love to hear you read this.
Okay.
Thank you.
For Adam. Okay. I tour heaven knowing about the end. There is a cemetery waiting for my praise. The dying flowers continue falling where no lungs ache. Into the breeze and the golden sky turns black. Remember when we became impartial to the sun, settling with good, heavy goodbyes because I knew finality nears. Inching closer until the lights fade where there is heaven, I will meet you there. End poem. My gracious, it's an awful racket. Is it me that's making all that racket on the line? Was it there before I arrived?
I'm going to put myself on mute. Tell me if it's still there.
No.
No, it's not.
Okay. Not me then. Cool.
So, yeah, this was a wonderful write, and I really like the emotion that is in it, you know. There is a cemetery waiting for my praise. The dying flowers continue falling, or no longer aches into the breeze, and the golden sky turns black. You know, it really harkens to saying goodbye to the earth and welcome to heaven. I thought it was a wonderful write and beautifully read as well, Naomi. And you know, in one of the comments, T-ing poem says a dialogue with the inevitable demise. Real and necessary, interesting, well-written, yes, what we all wish, to be reunited. And, you know, I think that's everything. Everybody has that wish to come together with their loved ones on the other side, which is a beautiful thought as well. So wonderfully written and well-read, Naomi. What did you think, Weaver?
Oh, yes, it was beautiful. Again, I love that picture, isn't it? Oh,
whoa.
Don't be afraid. Of
well,
is that
there?
The picture? Don't... Can you hear me?
I don't know.
Yes.
I'm hearing something.
Echoing.
Oh, it's not
Does
me.
It
I don't
somebody,
echo.
Somebody else is talking in the background. I don't know.
Yes, I actually heard a voice, but I thought I recognized.
Yeah.
Is there
it
anyone
may be
there?
Caller 707.
Could be. Do you want to check out that grave, please?
Yeah. Okay, I muted them.
Okay, thank you. Yes, beautifully. Oh, I thought it was, I think I'm looking at the wrong one, to be honest. It wouldn't surprise me. I've been hunting up and down this stupid board. Oh, yes. Now I got it. I just hadn't opened it. That was all. Stupid woman. Right, yes. No, I can't talk. The dying flowers continued falling when no longer ache into the breeze and the golden sky turned black. It always has so much meaning and passion. A quiet passion, but it's there in his work. And this is no exception. And you have to excuse me because I'm beginning to not be able to talk anymore. So thank you so much for sending that in.
Great comment. Thank you. And Lord, what are your thoughts?
Well, right from the first words, there is a cemetery waiting for my praise. One understands that the end is near, especially when you hear where no lungs ache. And it sounds like there is a medical issue. And the line, remember when we became impartial to the sun, when the sun no longer matters, it's easy to become impartial. Finality nears, inching closer into the light's fade. When there is a heaven, I will meet you there. The poem of a dying man, I would assume, but so, I don't want to say matter of fact, and I don't want to say simple, but there is a use of language that is very clean in this piece. Yet what is said is all, or it's dripping with complexity, if you bother to think about it. It's a great work. Thank you, Harko.
Great comment, Lauren. Thank you. And Naomi, what did you think?
Yeah, there's like a haunting feeling to this whole piece that, you know, I can't really, it's just there. It's not something I can grasp, but it's just there. You know, there's everything, I guess, from the cemetery to the dying flowers. But I also felt, you know, where there is heaven, I will meet you there. I also felt a little bit of like nostalgia, like love in this throughout it. I don't know if it's just me, but that's what I felt. But what a lovely piece, you know. It's such a delicate by Adam. He writes so delicately and so eloquently. So just bravo, Adam. Beautiful, beautiful piece.
Thank you, Naomi. Okay, Kate, where are we to next?
Okay, well, Frank has asked me to put this piece of poetry in instead of the one that he had already put in. I think because there is needed a slightly Scottish accent. I'm presuming that's it. Well, let's have a look. Oh, this should be fun. Thank you so much for throwing this at me, you. I'm going to love this. Okay, here we go. Don't gird mine hearty, Connie. Across the brae I gust the boon, the heather blossoming soon, with the star shrouding a moon, till the muckle clusters are a boon. Tis the rough bracken ruffling, neath the chirping clutch of sin, midst the frying din fleck with steen, as sponges awake from a swin. Shrews diggered in their cold den, foxes bestraggle the yearly by a glen, windchat shaled glickly bat a ven, sprog stirred along with ranker ken. Timmy waters of a brack frith, beyond the sheen of a windly garth, with the gleesome sigh of a mirth whilst brooking in lonesome earth. Bent indrilled of the wankle gale, bustling nigh breasts in the snod dale, building strength within the swale, alas too cantly and soothly hail. Hey, hi, lassie. Oh, sorry, lass. To the gainster, moor. We ending then forth yolly and stewer. Oh, slight me not with thy gore, for I too good as wrought boor. Don't gear mine hearty, Connie, but thine eyes fain and bonny. Thrice and nattered, blind and mardy, whether I bear a jip off too hardy. Spluttering words again I muttered, in the dustiest end tides I fluttered. Abide before the bruised cloth pothered by the winds of yester that withered. End poem.
fantastic read. We had the perfect candidate to read that as well. So excellent job, Kate. And I really liked his presentation of this poem. I mean, he's got a glossary of words down below, and I'd need every one of those words to completely understand the poem. But, you know, it's definitely well-written and powerful in its presentation. Don't gear mine hearty, tawny, but thine eyes, thane and bonny, thrice I natter, deblind, and marty, whither I bear a tip off, a jip off too hardy. Yeah, fantastic, right? Very talented to be able to capture the Scottish essence of it all. Well done. And so that was written in April of 2014, 10 years ago. Amazing. Amazing job. What did you think of the poem, Lord?
It reminded me a little of the effort it takes to read Chaucer, for instance, the Canterbury Tales. You know, you see words that you recognize, but they're changed, they're different. And you struggle from line to line to comprehend. Now, this might not be quite that difficult, but basically it had the same effect on me. You know, I'm reading words that I know are derived from English, but they are so different that it's a little overwhelming. And I have to praise the kind of expertise that allows Frank to use those words properly in a great little poem. But the glossary is indeed daunting. Nicely done.
Thank you, Lauren. And Naomi, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, wow. You know, I could never do this, you know, unless I did one in French. But, and, you know, what a wonderful read that was, Kate, my gracious. Chance, would you read it? wow, you know, it must have took him ages to do this. Just amazing. And, you know, from what I get, you know, I look down the glossary that he has, the words. You know, there must be some awful, amazing imagery in this poem, because there's beautiful words like the evenings, the branches entangled, the you know, the I imagine it's the wind that something blew strongly, you know, the marshland, the luster. The sparrows. So, you know, amazing vocabulary in this. And I wish I would have understood it more. But, you know, just amazing show of Frank's ability to, you know, to work so hard and come up with something so amazing as this. So bravo, Frank.
Wonderful comment, Naomi. Thank you. And, Lord, what are your thoughts? I'm sorry.
I already commented.
Yeah, Weaver, what did you think?
Well, all I can say is thank you very much for that. Throw me in at the deep end, you little devil, you. I could feel my brogue coming out the more and more I read it. It was everywhere. I loved it. I thought it was wonderful. I'm not convinced that every one of those words are genuine, Frank. I will be checking out later on when I sober up. I mean, when I'm feeling better. I thought it was wonderful. Yeah, I recognize most of the words, but, you know, this is older Scottish, so it's beautifully done. I loved it. I'm so glad I got a chance to read it. It was cool. Thank you.
Thank you, Weaver. I'm going to take one more try and try and bring on caller 707. Hello, caller, area code 707. Who's calling, please?
Yeah.
Hello?
I believe they're only listening.
Yeah, apparently. I'm going to put them back on mute. Okay. All right, Weaver, what do we have next?
Right, we're into open poetry now. And the first one we have is A Vegetable Breakup by S. Sharp. I think it has a SoundCloud, unless I'm completely wrong. And that wouldn't surprise me if I was.
I will take a look.
I think it has. Yeah, it does.
A vegetable breakup. Your okra arms and carrot legs lie on a plate abandoned on the kitchen table, steamed but long since cooled. A lover jilted, a broccoli flower given on Valentine's Day, dropped into a vase floating like a dead body, wishing for a concrete necklace. Tears of onions wash away collard green insults from crook-necked squash. Sautéed in feeling a chive, one can only hope you artichoke and asparagus me your kale-like promises as life has taken a turnip for the best. Now beat it.
How fun was that? I thought that was great, right? Your okra arms and carrot legs lie on a plate abandoned on the kitchen table, steamed, but long since cooled. And then I really enjoyed the ending. Now beat it. Fantastic imagery and wonderful humor to that, right? Very well done, Scott. What are your thoughts, Weaver?
Ah, yes. Vegetable breakup. Yes, I think I've read this before, which I probably have. But I love it. I thought it was wonderful. Your okra arms and carrot legs lie on a plate abandoned on the kitchen table. Oh, that's so cool. And then the broccoli flower given on Valentine's Day. Oh, my goodness. I thought it was wonderful. You asked to chuck an asparagus me your kill like promises as life has taken a turnip for the best. Oh, Peter, so cool. Well done. Well, I'm so glad that we got a chance to see that. So thank you for allowing us to do that.
Absolutely. Great comment. Thank you. And Lauren, what did you think?
Variegated vegetal wordplay. You know, the secret life of vegetables, romantic breakups, how human. Now beat it.
Yeah. Great comment, Lauren. Thank you. And Naomi, what did you think?
No, I thought it was so witty and so clever and so wonderfully put together. You know, this must have demanded a lot of work to come up with all those vegetable-related terms. You know, you anti-choke and asparagus me. Your kale-like promises as life has taken a turnip for the best and now beat it. But, you know, the girl who gets a broccoli flower and then wishing for a necklace instead, you know. This is really, like I said, really uniquely, very clever and well put together. So bravo, Scott.
Great comment. Thank you. And Weaver, what do we have next?
All right, just give me one moment and I'll be with you. Just be whispering amongst yourselves. Don't talk about me because it's not my fault.
Yeah.
I was trying to find everybody's pieces of poetry so I could get them up for them. That was what I was doing. So I wasn't actually just sitting back enjoying myself. Here we nearly have Paradise Lost by Arlist. I'm not sure if we have here a gentleman or a lady. Does anybody know?
I believe it's a lady. It's a man.
No, it's a man. Yeah, Arlist is a guy.
Okay, right. Well, Gray, would you like to read this, please? Or did you
sure.
read last? Okay, thank
I'm
you.
I'm not too sure. This Another is called mic. Paradise Lost by Arlist. Burning down Highway 24 into the evening sun, I glance at the side of the road and kick the western glare out of my eyes. Ahead lie countless miles to Colorado. Traffic thins to a mime of street racing. Near the state line, I shift into fifth gear, pour the gas, and sail past paradise. A faded road sign points to the rocky lane that leads to the township. I watch the marker vanish in my rearview mirror. What I had planned to deliver to Main Street merchants is of no importance now. They await my arrival like rain to revive the arid landscape that rises around me. How long can I keep driving through this dust? Light falls at the end of the road that never comes across the pale azure sky. A ballerina glides, life, nubile, and oh so spiritual. She paints a tableau with her languid hands. Here, a mountain, there, a swan. I think of Zeus and his seduction of Leda. Even the black dome of night offers no relief. I search for paradise and find it behind me, lost in the dark. End poem. And his author's note says, Highway 24 cuts across the top of Kansas, running the entire width of the state. It passes near the town and township of Paradise, not far from the Garden of Eden in Lucas. But I like the poem. You know, it really takes you on that journey down that highway of dark and dusty lane. And, you know, what he was delivering doesn't matter now. Because, you know, he's just kept driving past it. And now he sees the paradise in his rearview mirror. And it's lost in the dark behind him. So, yeah, fantastic and engaging, right? What did you think, Kate?
I agree. This is so good. I like that. I would not mind going to a place that has parts of it called things like paradise and, well, Garden of Eden, I presume that wasn't it? Or I've gone past it already. I probably have. Yes, I thought it was very well written. It gives you the feeling of how it must be to be just, because you have long, 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 long roads, don't you, that go on forever and ever and ever. Don't you? Do you? In America? Possibly not.
Yeah.
That gave me the idea of having to, you know, you're just going down this road. There is, that's it. And you're going past little towns and you just keep going past them because really there's not any point in stopping because you've seen it before, I presume. A faded road sign points to the rocky lane that leads to the township. I watch the marker vanish in my rearview mirror. What I had planned to deliver to Main Street merchants is of no importance now. They await my arrival like rain to revive the arid landscape. Oh, well, he's not going to be delivering. Oh, dear. Oh, well. Yes, I thought it was a lovely story. I actually enjoyed it so much. And I'd like to say thank you for sharing that with us.
Great comment. Thank you. And, Laura, what did you think?
It was a strong note of surreality in this paradise lost. We got someone driving down a lonely highway and finding out that paradise is actually behind him in the dark. I'm fascinated by the a faded road sign points to the rocky lane that leads to the township. I watch the marker vanish in my rearview mirror. What I plan to deliver to Main Street merchants is of no importance now. They await my arrival like rain to revive. Some of these little townships, boy, they depend on people stopping and buying, because otherwise there'd be no business. Just an odd reference that I thought was so true. It's a great piece, actually. I can't find the correct words to describe it.
Well, that's unusual for you.
Not really.
And Naomi, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, well, I felt a lot of, you know, nostalgia in reading this poem. You know, we have all these little towns, you know, the 20, which is the Trans-Canadian Highway that goes from coast to coast here, went down a couple of years ago through the Gaspé, that where I come from, and you know where the road used to be around all these little villages before, and now they're all forsaken and dying out because of course, it's a touristic region, and nobody, you know, everybody takes the Trans-Canadian, the 20 now, so nobody, you know, nobody goes to those little towns anymore to get gas or, you know, to get coffee or visit the shops or whatever, the restaurants. So it made me think of that, you know, the these little towns that are dying off because, you know, nobody stops in anymore. So, yeah, but, you know, just so wonderfully written. And there's, you know, in that last stanza there, that beautiful metaphor there that he painted there was just amazing. So wonderful, wonderful piece by Arlise here.
Great comment, Naomi. Thank you. Okay, Weaver, what do we have next?
Sorry, I was on mute. Yes, next we have Shadows into Night by our very own Laurent. So, over to you.
All right. Yep. Shadows into Night. Time and memory in ebb tide. Slipping away under doorways, evaporating through cracks, broken casement windows of the mind. Unused minutes grown into the mold of hours, sponged away like countertop dirt. Entire lifetimes, missing pieces, ragged and torn by mentation's dulled edge. Where does a loving hand apply the sealant, the function, or sharpening stone? Age's earwig eats, diminishing to mortal flesh by degrees. True north, a compass lost. Palindrome years iterate in sylvan webs of wooden thought. Plucked harp-like, memory strings rattle, buzzing their rust and steel notes into a brain fog of white noise. Static hiss of corruption sustained under the flickering lights of dimming cognition. Candle gutters dancing its shadows into night. End poem.
Wow, fantastic read, Laurent. And I really liked the poem. You know, it's dark, it's haunting. It really pulls you into this feeling of shadows dancing into the night, and slipping away under doorways, evaporating through cracks, broken encasement windows of the mind, unused minutes grown into the mold of hours, sponged away like countertop dirt. I mean, that's just epic writing there. And then where you say palindrome years iterate in sylvan webs, a wooden thought. I mean, that's just magical. Beautifully done, Laurent. Excellent write and a fantastic read. What did you think,
Thank
Kate?
You.
Absolutely.
Yes, oh, beautifully written. I thought it was so clever. I love the words so much. Entire lifetimes, missing pieces, ragged and torn by mentation's dull edges. Where does a loving hand apply the sealant, the function, or sharpening stone? Yep, beautifully written, and I really, really enjoyed it. One of these pieces of poetry that I think afterwards how much I could have got from it if I'd read it again and again. So I think I will have to do that. But I did think it was wonderful.
Oh, it's
so
easy. It's about Alzheimer's.
Get out of
yeah.
here.
Yeah, it is.
Of course it is. How on earth did I miss that? Okay. Well, it's no wonder because I'm old. What do you expect? Is time and memory and time got you now? Yes. See, I just wasn't thinking, I don't think. Wonderful. Thank you. Now I can enjoy it more knowing what you were pointing me to. So thank you very much, Laurent. Wonderful.
Great comment, Kate. Thank you. And Naomi, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I think he captured it all, and, you know, plucked tarp all through, but I mean, stanza that really stood out for me was plucked harp-like memories, strings rattle, buzzing their rust and steel notes into a brain fog of white noise. And, you know, wow. And, you know, the next stanza, of course, the, you know, where you have the reference to dimming cognition there, you know, the hiss of corruption sustained under the flickering lights of dimming cognition. Just wonderful metaphors. Wow, Laurent, you know, you really, really, you know, captured, you know, all that Alzheimer does to a person. And, you know, as they slip away, I just love that slipping away under doorways, evaporating through cracks, broken casement, windows of the wind, of the mind, you know, just amazing. What a superbly written piece here.
Thank you, Naomi.
Great comment, Naomi. Thank you. Would you like to say anything about your poem, Laurent?
I'll take one thing. One stanza I was particularly pleased with when I wrote it was palindrome years iterate in sylvan webs of wooden thought. Now, a palindrome is something that reads the same back to front as front to back. Imagining that happening to time and your reality in your mind and iterations of that, different varieties of that daily, you know, almost like your mind is clogged in cobwebs, but I chose sylvan webs, which went with of wooden thought. I thought that particular stanza tied itself together very nicely and really did speak to the lack of cognition that occurs in Alzheimer's patients.
Yeah, absolutely. Beautiful comment. Thank you. All right, Kate, what do we have next?
And next we have Muse by Hope So. I will read this one. Hope I do you justice, Hope. Muse. Let these soft feminine Hispanic hands search out the body of you, mapping the darkened shadows, inking rose thorns that strangle pale flesh of Portuguese skin, touching fragile arras, imperfections that make you perfect. Lean in the arches of your temple, houses sanctuary steeple, tipsy vintage white wine pours down vertical horizons, showering grooves of green olive vineyards that ripen in the harvest of blood moons I create with you. Spilling down the canvas, caramelized honeydew drippings, collecting at the four corners of our smudging fingertips in the ash from tobacco burnout that leaves your fiery lungs bathed, creative in his artistry. Daybreaking dawns imploding scarlight aurora, be my last, always till ever and after. Musa Poetica. End poem.
Beautiful read. And, you know, that's a fantastic picture of Nuno, her love. So, you know, I really feel the passion in this and the desire that she has for him and their love together. You know, he is her muse, and it's beautifully presented in this rite. So well done. Good job, Hope. Very loving and skillfully artistic. Excellent rite. And read, Katie. Lauren, what did you think?
Hope Soul is a poet that I didn't read much in the past, but I've started to read her poetry, and she's quite a remarkable poet and expresses herself in the way that a poet should, using phrases like imperfections that make you perfect. It wouldn't seem that imperfections would, but you don't. There is such thing as being too perfect, unreal, pretentious. So when the imperfections show, you're showing the true you, and somehow that will make you perfect. Just the artistry in the language, spilling down the canvas, caramelized honeydew drippings, collecting at the four corners of ours, smudging fingertips in the ash from tobacco burnout. Nicely done. That has flavor.
Excellent comment, Lauren. Thank you. And Naomi, what did you think?
Oh, yeah, just beautiful. You know, I wonder, is it her that painted that picture, or is it Nuno? I don't know which of them, because they're two amazing artists, you know. They both draw and paint so beautifully. But, you know, there's a part those lines that Laurent just read, oh, my gracious, you know, yeah, he said flavor. They just have that captivating, you know, that essence that totally envelopes you as you read them. Just brilliantly put. And that second stanza too there, oh my gracious, you know, pours down vertical horizons, you know, the white wine, showering groves of green olive vineyards that ripen in the harvest of blood moons I create with you. Just beautiful from, you know, start to finish. Just amazing. Amazing art, amazing poetry. Such talented person, this Hope Sowell. So bravo.
Well said. Thank you, Naomi. And Weaver, you read it. What did you think?
Yes, I agree totally with what Naomi said. Such a wonderful poetress. I think her work, like you, I hadn't heard of her before, very much of her work. But it's every time you have something a little more, I don't know, it's not polished exactly, but each one is different. Each one is giving you something completely different. But there's always this love coming through, the need to have the other person with you, the two halves that make the whole. I think it's just beautifully done. And like everybody else has picked up on this one, imperfections that make you perfect. Isn't that just perfect? Absolutely wonderful. I'm afraid I stumbled a couple of times, so I do apologize for that, I hope. But I thought it was beautiful, so thank you for sharing.
Great comment. Thank you, Kate. All right, what do we have next, Kate?
Yes. Next we have Waiting for You by our very own sultry Naomi. Go for it, baby.
Waiting for you. I wait for you in the rainy season. Your name wriggles on my tongue, a fish in a cove. I wait for you in the heart of the forest, inextricable, lost. For you I will weave a nest braided of leaves and jay. I wait for you like the dew lamped in the belly of the springs. I hear the drum of your feet breeding a newborn dance. The earth is round under my breast, where your heart drums in full. I wait for you, the sailor of my belly, cross the unknown seas and the sea caves. I wait for the hour of the tide, your cry, which makes all capsize. End poem.
Wow, I really enjoyed the poem. You know, it's very visceral and deeply engaging. You can feel the emotion in your waiting. And, you know, you really capture the essence of longing quite beautifully as well. I hear the drum of your feet beating a newborn dance. The earth is round under my breasts where your heart drums in full. I mean, that's so touching. Beautifully done, Naomi. What did you think, Katie?
Thank you.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah. Yes, it was beautiful, Naomi. The very title gives you that knowledge of what, you know, what's going to happen. I wait for you in the rainy season, your name wriggles on my tongue, a fish in a cove. That's a lovely metaphor. I like that. I'm kind of getting fonder of metaphors than I ever was before. Because before, I didn't like them. But I love them now. Well, you don't know what you don't know, I suppose. That doesn't help. If you feel that you're lost in something, it's when you start to get a little bit more knowledge, it makes things a little easier. Oh, I mean, look, there we have. For you, I will weave a nest braided of leaves and jay. I wait for you like the dew lamped in the belly of the spring. That's just lovely. I really, really enjoyed it. And you read it beautifully, of course. I was saying, I don't suppose you heard, but Liu had a piece of poetry on. And before I started to read it, I said, I wish Naomi was here because you could have read it beautifully. So, but anyway, I did my best. But you'll hear it when you hear back. Yes, I thought you did a beautiful job and I really enjoyed it so much. I wait for hours on the tide, your cry makes it all come. Oh, dear. There's pathos, there's love, there's patience, there's everything. Everything in this, which is, just makes it very, very lovely. So thank you.
Thank you.
And Lauren, what did you think?
I think he had to go.
Oh, okay. All right. Good night, Lauren. Thank you for calling in. Would you like to say anything about your poem, Naomi?
No. It just came out. Just poured out. So, yeah, thank you so much for your lovely comments.
Our pleasure.
Absolutely.
It was lovely.
All right, Katie, what do we have next?
I'm very pleased with being called Katie. I think it's much better than Kate. So thank you all, because I think it's damn nice. Okay, now we have Lady Lufa, La Boom, by Marion Comer Jan. You've just read yours, Naomi, so I'll give you a little rest, and I'll read this one. If it ever opens up for me, come along. Stop playing silly beggars. Sorry, folks, I seem to be having this a lot, that the actual page won't open, the poem won't open for me. I'll go to another page. I've got too much going on. Who knows? This is where it gets interesting. What the heck have I done? La, 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 right down to the... My goodness, we've done a lot tonight. Haven't we done well? There we are. Try this. It's going to open, Lady Lufa. Yay. I done did it. Lady Lufa, La Boom. I hasten to praise Lady Lufa, La Boom. Her hairdo is poofy and stiff as they come. Her posterior muscle, without any bustle, sticks out in the back like the fabled sore thumb. Always clean as a whistle, she cannot stand scum. She'll throw royal fits if you chew chewing gum. Her blue eyes bug out and her doughy lips pout. Please, bow as you pass, Lady Lufa, La Boom. But how shall I know this dame extraordinaire? You'll know by her neon beige billowing hair. Her gowns with their flouses, her rear end that bounces. Her grace as she strides with her nose in the air. End poem.
Oh, that
so
was
cool.
Great. Excellent read. I really enjoyed it, you know. It really captures the essence of Lady Lufa, La Boom, and her presence in the world. You know, it's hard to mistake due to the fact that her gowns with their flounces, her rear end that bounces, her grace as she strides with her nose in the air. Beautifully written. Well done. Excellent read as well, Katie. And Naomi, what did you think?
Oh, yeah, she really captured, you know, that time of Louis 16 or Louis 15 there with, you know, the ladies there in the French court. And, you know, just I can just picture her. Oh, my gracious, you know, described so well. you know, the of course, the lines that you recited, Gray, there, but, you know, all through, it's just so amazing, from the hairdo to her eyes bulging, and, you know, she's just amazing. The Lady La Boom, just amazing. All through. I just enjoyed this so much, so much. Thank you, Miriam.
Great comment. Thank you. And Weaver, what did you think?
Oh, it was wonderful. Absolutely wonderful. Well done. I love humor anyway, but this is just so clever. It just worked beautifully. You know, you can't ask for more than that. Humor is a difficult thing. So when you get it right, it's just great to behold. And I do tend to love that side of it. I love humor. But how shall I know this dame extraordinaire? You'll know by her neon beige billowing hair, her gowns with their flounces, her rear end that bounces, her grace as she strides with her nose in the air. Oh, wonderful. You can see her in the French court, can't you? You can see her with all the mice in her and her big floppy hairdo and things popping out. You just see the cartoon of her with the rear end and the mice leaping about inside her hairdo, having a picnic or whatever. I thought it was brilliant. Thank you, Miriam. You made me smile.
Great comment. Thank you. And where are we to next, Weaver?
Now we're going to have, couldn't resist this one. I had to put it out into the ether. This is by our one and only Fill My Eyes. So, Naomi, would you like to read this, please? Sleep Seduction.
Oh, yeah. That'd be my honor. Sleep Seduction. Night falls. The seduction begins. Slumber. Trying to draw me quietly into his arms. Beckon me to slip between the cool silk sheets of darkness. Silence, my lullaby, a sweet, simple, non-existent tune caressing me with its soothing melody. Pillows of dreams like down, placed gently under my head, tempting me to drift. A blanket of liquid night envelopes me, soft kisses upon my eyelids, another attempt to make me his. I struggle to stay awake slowly. He begins to overcome me. A blindfold of darkness now placed over my eyes, my yawns now his cherished sighs, as I drift softly under his spell. End poem.
Beautifully read, Naomi. And I like the poem. You know, it speaks to sleep as a seducer, you know, lulling you into this place of dreaminess and escape. I really enjoyed it. Night falls, the seduction begins. Slumber trying to draw me quietly into his arms, beckoning me to slip between the cool silk sheets of darkness. Just a wonderful poem throughout. I enjoyed the whole thing from top to bottom. So well done, Phil. What did you think, Katie? Hello, Katie?
Oh, I was doing so well there, too. I was being very lyrical and interesting and suave and suffocated, and you didn't hear a word. Oh, dear. Oh, well, back to the drawing board. I thought it was absolutely amazingly wonderful. I'm picturing her being drawn into the arms of Morpheus, who's seducing her, who's forcing her to come to him and quietly slip into his arms and into the silk sheets of darkness. And it's just so wonderful. I mean, I have a hate thing with sleep. I loathe it and despise it and never want to do it. This would persuade me. This really would. It might be quite a nice thing. I don't think it is, but it could be. Yep. Wonderful. Absolutely wonderful. Beautiful. Thank you. And I'm so pleased to see something from our Phil.
Absolutely. Great comment. Thank you. And Naomi, you read it. What did you think?
Oh, yeah, this is just flow so beautifully. It's so soft and so sensual. You know, in the words that she so carefully used, and you know, just the formatting of it, you know, the way it flows down, it's as if she's drifting down into sleep here. I just loved, you know, soft kisses upon my eyelids, another attempt to make him eat his, you know, that softness of kisses, of sleep, you know, that tumble upon your eyelids there when you're trying to, your eyes droop and you're trying to stay awake, but, you know, but the way she put it, soft kisses upon my eyelids, so beautiful. And, you know, the blindfold of darkness. And then also my yawns, now his cherished sighs. That's so beautiful. Just an amazing, you know, front page pick. And so, so deserving. Beautiful, beautiful piece here, Brightfield.
Absolutely. Great comment. Thank you. And where are we to next, Weaver?
Next we have Lost in the Moment by Duke of Est Dex Bailey. Adult. Grey Eyes, would you read this for us, please?
Sure. Overwhelming lust, holding with white knuckles the reins of savagery and encouraging my every impulse. Her luscious landscape, begging to be conquered and lost in submission's bliss as my war drum beats harder, ravishing her deepest reservoir, fighting across love's peak, climaxing behind a final hammer swing, connecting us at sudden peace. End poem. You know, that was a fantastic take on, you know, love and falling in love and being taken by the lover and, you know, the submission that is given in that moment. And then, you know, I really enjoyed the ending where it says, climaxing behind a final hammer swing, connecting us at sudden peace. Just a brilliant write throughout. And what did you think, Weaver?
Oh, yes, that was just beautiful. It was really well done. Lost in the Moment. I like the starting stanza. That just gets you, doesn't it? I mean, that was in there with the knuckles. Overwhelming lust, holding with white knuckles the reins of savagery and encouraging my every impulse. Well, that's what you want at the beginning of any relationship. Encouragement to be the person that you want to be with, the person that you want to be with. And her luscious landscape, begging to be conquered. And lost in submission's bliss, as my war drum beats harder. Well, very sensuous. Very sensual? I'm never very sure. Ravaging, oh, well, never mind that part. We'll just carry on. Climaxing behind a final hammer swing, connecting us at a sudden peace. Perfect. That was just a perfect ending for that. Yes. Savage. It's you know, it's not your quiet, peaceful relationship. This is, you know, she's being conquered and he's being the conqueror with the white knuckles. I thought it was brilliant. Very upbeat in as much as it was upbeat. Yeah, I loved it. I really loved it. Thank you, Dex. It was just great.
Absolutely great comment. Thank you, Weaver. And Naomi, what are your thoughts?
Oh, yeah, this is an amazing, amazing piece, you know, on the power, you know, how powerful love is. You know, when you get white knuckles, it's because you're holding on to something so, so tightly, you know, and that phrasing there, holding with white knuckles, the reins of savagery and encouraging my every impulse. Now, it's so true, you know, when you fall in love, that at the beginning there, you're just overtaken. You're, like the title says, you're lost. You're completely lost in that moment. And then, you know, me too, you know, the last phrasing there, climaxing behind a final hammer swing, connecting us at a sudden peace. Now, that's just amazing, the way he, you know, the metaphors in this, the hammer, the drum beats, and you know, the of course the white knuckles there, just a superb well written piece indeed by Dex here. So bravo.
Great comment, Naomi. Thank you. Okay, Weaver, where are we to next?
I'm just buzzing up and down this page to make sure I haven't missed anybody. I don't think I have. Now, at this point, I don't know whether to carry on with the two or three we've gotten open or go back to front page picks. But I'll go for another one by Hope. Because, you know, we are still in the era for open poetry. So, you know, that'll work, I think.
So, or if you have one by Nuno, because he just showed up on the board.
No, I don't think so. As I say, I've been up and down this board.
Yeah,
and,
you've got to refresh the page.
Ah, well, that would help. See, you've got to help me with these things. I forget all about them. Okay. Oh, there, I see Laurent going. Okay. Oh, there we have it. Oh, that's great. Thank you, people. What would I do without you? No idea. I'd be very lonely, probably. Here we have Poetry Thief by Nuno Cardoso. I love that name. What a fabulous name. And I'll just get that out there. Right. Grey Eyes, I could read this or you could read this. What would you like?
I'll give it a read.
Good-o. Thank you so much.
Have you pasted it?
Yeah, I'm looking at it.
Okay, because I don't see it.
I think you put it in the wrong room, Kate.
Oh, my goodness. Okay, not a problem. I can do this. Somebody's going to get a surprise. Oh, my. I tell you, if it wasn't for my mistakes, I wouldn't have so much fun. It's got to be honest. I don't know what I'm going to do next. I really don't know what I'm going to do. I'm so sorry, people. I'm a complete and absolute maniac. I can't help it. Oh, we are. We've got it. Have we? Have we got it?
Yeah.
Good-o.
Okay, so this is called Poetry Thief by Nuno Cardoso. Black male trucker of African descent, Cape Verde accent, so that's my bet, with a mix of yellow, red, bloodshot eyes, liver probably damaged without his knowledge, bottle lover, trophy holder, widow maker, his child too old to be called an orphan, so no more poor rhymes about poor man. Anyway, he comes up to me and asks, can you help put my eye drops? Yeah, sure thing. Pointing to his helper, he adds, he can't do it. He's dumb as they come. As hands play detective inside a pharmacy paper bag with a Green Cross logo, peepers dive inside and see tons of cardboard white rectangular-shaped boxes. A small bottle then shortly rises out of one of them. He tilts his noggin back, left index finger pressed below the eyebrow, right thumb pressed above the cheekbone, all to pry that white plum wide open. I squeeze the bottle with long fingers that are better fit for wet flowers on rainy autumn days, sleeping on Cali king-size clouds as two transparent liquid drops kamikaze their way into their target, clashing against it, then flooding it almost like the ocean is mad at dry land, and salty pork chops don't make love to salt, pepper, and olive oil in a frying pan. Yesterday, wonder if that's what happened on 1941 December 7th in Pearl Harbor. The task is done. So hands reach inside my pocket. Amber peeks out of the pocket. A filter tucked between dry lips that so often rip open and bleed when it gets stuck on them. Fingers dip into heaven and announce, completely unannounced, and the same paper bag shrivels around now. A slim tube comes out to play, and I roll up to the gray, rain-filled madhouse keeper, and a sigh to release thunder within soon follow. Eye drops as well, a head nod this time. Back in, Amber goes, grab the tube and squeeze, almost like I do these last drops when I'm flying solo in the clouds of the bedroom. Transparent gel makes its way, slowly repelling down into the eyeballs to be rubbed in after. Funny. We done here? Yeah, thanks. Finally, I roll the damn bag, then take a few drags. Long overdue smoking break. Palette inside waiting for me. Haven't been able to write. Wonder if all the poems that I've been writing are what's stuck in his eye. The nerve on that goddamn thief. End poem. And he says in his author's notes, there are a lot of jokes and references in this one. Professional similarity, 10 of 10, and a grin. Yeah, you know, it's definitely humorous, and it's got amazing viscerals, and, you can feel the pain that the man's suffering with his sore eyes and, you know, the tragedy of his situation where he's probably got... kidney problems as well. So, yeah, a wonderful write with amazing talent throughout. Well done, Nuno. All right, Kate, what did you think?
Oh, yes, this is what we've come to expect, isn't it? It's beautifully rounded and very well written. You know, it bounced along, which I like. I like movement. And, you know, so you're going from quickly down. You're not stagnating on a couple of lines, but you're going through it very quickly, which I love. And I also like the reference to the cigarette paper sticking to your lip and ripping it open. That happened to me so many times. And it's like a paper cut. So damn irritating.
It is,
so that,
yeah.
That, it really is, isn't it? So you have this putting the eye drops into this chap's eyes. And it's the way he takes you through every small nuance, every tiny movement of what's happening. So you're with him as the one finger holds the eye, but the other one's below the eye and opens it. And I love that. Opens this, was it white plum? Opens this white plum wide open. Wonderful. So you've got all of that. And then you go on to, he's done that and he's having his cigarette, so he's quite happy. And then on to the end of it, which was just wonderful. We did it beautifully. So thank you so much. I'm glad I found it for you.
Great comment. Thank you. And Naomi, what did you think?
Well, you know that somebody can write when they hold your attention, because he did captivate my attention, my gracious, to the whole piece, you know, with the subject being eye drops. And you know that person can write amazingly when they can do that, because my gracious. And you know, the as two transparent liquid drops kamikaze their way into their target, clashing against it, then flooding it almost like the ocean is mad at dry land. And salty pork chops didn't make love to salt, pepper, and olive oil on a frying pan yesterday. Wonder if that's what happened on 1941, December 7th in Pearl Harbor. Wow, you know, what amazing writing this is. And, you know, just all about, you know, yeah, about eye drops, but, you know, it goes so much to so many other places and so many other directions. It takes you there, you know, to so many other places. So, you know, just wonderful. And, you know, it works as, and when you are in writer's block, you know, he put that in his AN, but you know, when you're in writer's block, you know, your attention goes in all kinds of directions and you can't like focus to read. So that really made me think of this poem, and I love the humor and the ending. So very well done indeed, Nunoa. Bravo. Kudos to you for this right here. Bravo.
Great comment, Naomi. Thank you. All right, Kate, we've got 5 minutes left, so if you wouldn't mind adding another poem, that would be great.
Yeah, no problem. Here we have "This Is Not Love" by Average White Man, and I would like to read this, if you don't mind.
Sure.
Thank you. "This Is Not Love." "Dearest wife, you convinced me for far too long that I had the devil in me. But beneath the veneer of the downtrodden husband beat the red-hot bleeding heart of a poet with life and death, but most of all love, dripping from his pen. No, dear wife, you were wrong to beat me down with word and deed. I was good to you for a score of years plus one, forthright and loyal, grafting with bleeding fingers. You thought, dear wife, you still deserved better than a man, grafting his thoughts for another. But then again, do not I? As resignation brings forth a deep, heart-rending shudder, so begins the final chapter of something other than love." End poem. Oh.
And he says in his author's note, "This was a difficult write." So it's obviously very personal. And, mm-hmm. you know, I'm sorry for him having to go through this. You know, it's hard when the love was never really there. And, you know, it really hits home. Just because, you know, I've been through similar situations. So I understand completely what he's saying in his poem. Definitely a heart-wrenching poem. What did you think, Naomi?
Yeah, you know, you can tell it's written. You can hear the, you know, the like the kind of anger in it a bit. You know, when he has those exclamation marks, like, you know, he starts right off, "You convinced me for far too long that I had the devil in me." You know, the way she put him down, and then, you know, a score of years plus one, forthright and loyal, grafting with bleeding fingers, you know, and so you really feel the emotion in this one. This was a heartfelt write, you know, like you said, Gray, a very personal one, and you feel it. You feel all his emotion coming out through this write. So, you know, hats off to him, you know, for being able to write something so personal, and I hope it turns out okay. And yeah, wish him the best.
Absolutely. Great comment, Naomi. Thank you. And Weaver, what are your thoughts?
Oh, this is just, it's an age-old story, isn't it? Somebody's always getting hurt. So sad. But I love the fight that came through this. I know it was, you know, it's heartbreaking. I've been there, you know, I think an awful lot of us have been there. But it's the fact that I could feel the passion coming back. I could feel the fight coming back. He was telling her, basically, "You're wrong. I'm not downtrodden. I'm not useless. I've not got the devil in me. You just don't understand me." So beautifully done. I thought it was absolutely wonderful. I hope it's been resolved now. If this is, you know, if this is autobiography, or this is fiction, it doesn't make any difference. It's still a beautiful piece of poetry, but I hope that it's all been resolved now and that you're happier, hopefully.
Absolutely. Yes. Well, I'd like to thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for calling in today, sharing your heart, your mind, your voices, and most especially your time. I'd like to wish you all a great night and much love. Good night, all.
Good night, my dear. Good night, Naomi.
Good night.
Good night, Naomi.
Good night.
Thank you for being with us.